WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. NATO wrapping up its summit in Lithuania. Ukraine asking permission to join the alliance, but being rejected. Member nations, however, pledging support for the war against Russia and allowing Sweden to join NATO this year. First responders on the scene of a Greyhound bus crash in southern Illinois.
Greyhound says its bus number 1675 was traveling from Indianapolis to St. Louis when it crashed into three commercial vehicles parked on the exit ramp at the Silver Lake Interstate 70 westbound rest area. A spokesman for the Illinois State Police says three people on the bus died at the scene. 14 were taken to hospitals, four of the patients by helicopter. A four-mile stretch of the normally busy I-70 has been shut down westbound.
ABC's Jim Ryan. The Iowa State Legislature passing a near-total ban on abortion. It would ban the procedure after a fetal heartbeat is detected at around 6 weeks of pregnancy. This is ABC News. Unionized actors in Hollywood could hit the picket lines as soon as tomorrow. Their current contract with studios runs out at the end of the day. Yet another missile test from North Korea, a ballistic missile spotted taking off and flying hundreds of miles over the ocean before landing in the water off the coast of Japan. And one of the biggest movies of the summer hitting theaters today.
This mission of yours.
After years of delays, the latest Mission Impossible movie finally in theaters today. And no one is more excited for you to see Dead Reckoning Part 1 than Tom Cruise, who has literally been all over the world the past few months promoting the film, including a stop Monday in New York.
I just want people to sit in that theater and just, this summer, just let go of everything and go on a ride. Go on a cinematic ride.
Rotten Tomatoes says the reviews from critics are 98% positive, the highest score for any of the Mission Impossible films. Jason Adenson, ABC News.
Justin Finch, ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today is the start of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. The event, in its 125th year, saw over 100,000 people attend last year, a record. With new buildings on site, Executive Director Rusty Volk said his vision of focusing on ag is being realized after over a decade running the event.
It's been a mission, it's been a vision of mine, it's been a passion of mine. I keep telling everybody I'm the luckiest guy in the world because I get to use all my life experiences to rebuild a fairgrounds. How much fun is that?
Five new buildings were built to replace old structures that didn't have modern amenities or enough space for animal exhibits at a cost of over $6 million. The fair runs through Sunday. Today is also the first day that artists will perform at Rockfest in Kadot. The three-day music festival, which sold out at campsites and VIP months ahead of time, has a ticket holder event tonight before its main acts play tomorrow through Saturday. Headliners include Pantera, Slipknot, and Godsmack. You can buy tickets at the gate. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
It feels like they're trying to pit the teachers against the parents, and all of us can come together to say, look, stop trying to, you know, divide and conquer and work with us. And they're still trying to hide and say, well, the JFC cut it. There's nothing I can do. Yes, there is. You can vote for the amendment to continue child care counts.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends, and I can't wait to get on the road again. On the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. I can't wait to get on the road again. Road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way, and our way is on the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is music with my
Willie friend. Nelson on the road again. Guys still out there having a good time. We've got that big outlaw festival going on this summer around the country, and that'll be going, I think, through the end of the summer. And in addition to the big outlaw festival concert tour that he's got going on, with several guests on the lineup this year, including John Fogerty and Bobby Weir and the Wolf Brothers, he's also doing that big Farm Aid event, which he's been doing every year since 1985, right? But this year's big Farm Aid event going on in Indiana at the old Deer Creek Music Amphitheater, which is called the Ruoff, I think Ruoff Mortgage or something, Ruoff Music Center, right outside of Indianapolis. And tickets for that, by the way, going on sale Friday. And I think there's a pre-sale that's actually happening right now. But that should be pretty good. Willie Nelson still out there doing it. Is it really the marijuana that keeps him alive and young and able to continue doing shows well into his 80s? I don't know. Some people claim that's the truth. Hey, speaking of concerts, by the way, we've got 8.5 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show. You can hear this show Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this radio station that you're listening to right now. Speaking of concerts, Summerfest in Milwaukee is reporting a huge increase in attendance over last year. They say attendance up 40% from last year. Summerfest saw a, by the way, this is from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Summerfest saw a major leap in attendance for its 55th anniversary celebration this year, with 624,407 people walking through the turnstiles. That is a 40% increase from 2022. And that was despite air quality warnings from the Canadian wildfires that were still in effect for one of Summerfest's days this year, and the cancellation of two ticketed American Family Insurance Amphitheater shows for July 6th, Jimmy Buffett and his planned replacement, AJR. University of Wisconsin-Madison graduate Young Gravy played a show on the stage that night, his second at this year's festival, and that was free with festival admission. And while the total attendance tally is less than the last pre-pandemic year in 2019, the average daily attendance this year was actually slightly higher. It says here, buoyed, you know, like a buoy out in the ocean, buoyed by huge turnouts on the first and last Saturdays, and sold out at near capacity amphitheater shows with Zach Bryan and Imagine Dragons, the daily average attendance for the 2023 festival was 69,379 this year. Then in 2019, the last year the now 9-day festival had its 11-day format, the daily average attendance was 65,286. Quote, "These are fantastic results for Summerfest 55th anniversary," Don Smiley, CEO for parent company Milwaukee World Festival, said in a statement. Sarah Pancheri, president of Milwaukee World Festival, who is likely to take over as CEO after Smiley retires at the end of the year, following a 20-year run in the role, added in a statement, quote, "Summerfest's 2023 results allow our organization to continue to position the festival for future success," end quote. Along with significant growth in attendance, festival officials celebrated the addition of 15 new sponsors and 17 new sponsors signing on for its Summerfest Tech event. There were also several ticket sales increases, including twice as many 9-day power passes sold in 2023 compared with last year. And about 17% of patrons attended the festival through a free festival promotion, officials reported Tuesday, and more than 50,000 free tickets were issued. As part of the promotions, festgoers donated more than 27,000 pounds of food for the Hunger Task Force, more than $18,000 worth of hygiene products for Milwaukee and Waukesha County schools through United Way, and more than 3,500 books for a local nonprofit Next Door. And then they also announced the dates for next year's Summerfest. It says on Tuesday, festival officials also confirmed that the 9-day format that was introduced in 2021 will return next year, and announced Summerfest dates for 2024. They're saying June 20th through the 22nd, June 27th through the 29th, and then July 4th, 5th, and 6th. So Summerfest 2024, start making your plans now. If you are a music lover, if you're a music fan, that's always a great place to go. Fun time to be had at Milwaukee's Summerfest. And staying with the entertainment news that's going on today, by the way, 13 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, the people who make the TV show called Top Chef have announced that it's now going to be filmed, or at least the 21st season of Top Chef will be filmed in Wisconsin. I do think that many people in Wisconsin don't appreciate the level of restaurants, the quality of the restaurants that we have in Wisconsin. You know, you travel to some other states, Indiana or Iowa, and it doesn't seem like they have the same level of diverse restaurants that we have in Wisconsin. So this headline from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says season 21 of Bravo's Top Chef will be filmed in Wisconsin with new host Kristen Kish. The next season of the Bravo reality show Top Chef will be shot in the heart of Wisconsin, the cable channel announced on Tuesday. For its 21st season, Top Chef also will have a new host, Kristen Kish, a seasoned chef, cookbook author, and cooking competition TV show host and producer, including winning the season 10 edition of Top Chef. And she has Midwestern cred. She was born in South Korea, but she grew up in Kentwood, Michigan. Kish succeeds Padma Lakshmi, who hosted Top Chef for the past 19 seasons and then left to pursue her many other projects, including the Hulu series called Taste the Nation. It says here, Bravo described new season setting as, quote, the energetic and unique culinary scenes in Milwaukee and Madison, with a backdrop of picturesque landscapes, acres of farmland, miles of shoreline, and vibrant urban communities. The chef-testants will explore the fresh flavors and local bounty of this rising culinary destination. That's us, Wisconsin, a rising culinary destination. In its statement, Bravo quoted Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers saying in part, quote, we're proud to be known here for our rich food culture, talented chefs, and exceptional local ingredients. I know our diverse culinary traditions will help inspire the participants, captivate viewers, and showcase all of the great things Wisconsin has to offer. According to Bravo, the show is in partnership with Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and being made in cooperation with Travel Wisconsin, Visit Milwaukee, Destination Madison, Destination Door County, the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association. Season 21 of Top Chef will reportedly be filmed later this year and air in early 2024 on Bravo and the Peacock streaming service. So that's good news. TV show Top Chef coming to Wisconsin to highlight what we have going on here. 16 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock, one thing I wanted to get to was a story from the New York Times about how the hard right is pressing the culture war fights. And they're doing this with the defense bill and imperiling its passage. Is the defense of the United States something to be played with, used as a football, and used to is it something that we can use to hold hostage hold the defense bill hostage? You know what I'm trying to say, right? It says here the right-wing Republicans want to use the annual military budget and policy legislation, traditionally a bipartisan affair, as a tool to pick fights on abortion and other issues. And I'll get to this story about how the Republicans are doing this right after we take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup.
That's awesome.
Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crute. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. This summer, things are heating up on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 74, winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for isolated thunderstorms, lows level off around 53. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 81, a mix of clouds and sun. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. WLAK.
They're turning out the lights. I've been feeding that old jukebox just to hold you tight. Guess it's for the best. I just put in my last dime. Heard you whisper we'd meet again. Another place, another time. Chairs are stacked all over tables, and it's closing time, they say. I could wait right here forever, if they'd only let me stay. Anywhere would be much better than that old lonely room of mine. And a sleepless night awaiting for another place, another time. Won't that
back to the Stu Daniels Show, 22 and a half minutes after 9 o'clock now. We have 67 degrees in Eau Claire. And one of the things I wanted to get to here was what we were discussing just before the break. This headline from the New York Times says, hard right presses culture war fights on defense bill, imperiling its passage. Right-wing Republicans want to use the annual military budget and policy legislation, traditionally a bipartisan affair, as a tool to pick fights on abortion and other social issues. This piece just posted yesterday. It says here, hard right House Republicans are pushing to use the yearly bill that sets the United States military budget and policy as an opportunity to pick fights with the Biden administration over abortion, race, and transgender issues, imperiling its passage and the decades-old bipartisan consensus in Congress around backing the Pentagon. And it makes you scratch your head and say, well, I thought the Republicans supported the Pentagon. I thought they supported the military. The story goes on and says Republican leaders have scheduled votes beginning Wednesday, today, on the $886 billion measure. But as of Tuesday evening, they had yet to dissuade their ultra-conservative colleagues from efforts to load it up with politically charged provisions to combat what the GOP calls wokeness in the military. You can't have any wokeness in the military. It's like, what's up with the obsession with this wokeness by the Republicans? This piece from the Times goes on and says, those proposals, including rolling back a Pentagon policy providing service members access to abortions and defunding the military's diversity, equity, and inclusion programs would alienate the moderate Republicans and Democrats whose votes would be needed to get the bill through the narrowly divided House. The situation has turned the annual defense policy bill into the latest test of Speaker Kevin McCarthy's leadership since the far right revolted over the debt ceiling deal he forged with President Biden, grinding the House to a halt to demand more influence over its agenda. Right-wing lawmakers have threatened to do so again if their priorities are not met, and this time their tactics could ensnare what is widely seen as one of the few must-pass pieces of legislation before Congress each year, normally drawing broad support across the political spectrum. This year's military bill would grant a 5.2% raise to military personnel, counter aggressive moves by China and Russia, and establish a special inspector general to oversee U.S. aid to Ukraine. But the legislation has in recent years increasingly become a magnet for cultural fights. And with Republicans now controlling the House, right-wing members have attempted to exploit it to power their socially conservative agenda. At issue is a major piece of the Republican Party's attack on Biden and Democrats, whom they accuse of trying to infuse radically liberal policies into all areas of American life. So are they saying that diversity, equity, and inclusion are radically liberal policies? I don't know. Diversity, equity, and inclusion seem to be what America is all about, right? This piece from the Times goes on and says the Pentagon has figured prominently in their narrative because it allows Republicans to tie their complaints about cultural issues to national security and patriotism, effectively arguing that progressive policies are not just misguided, but dangerous. So here's a quote for you. This is from Representative Chip Roy, Republican from Texas. He said in an interview, "I believe that it is core and fundamental due to defense that we stop making the Defense Department a social engineering experiment wrapped in a uniform." Mr. Roy said he issued ultimatums but would expect votes on rolling back Pentagon policies regarding abortion and diversity, signaling he otherwise would not support allowing the bill to reach the floor. Yeah, diversity seems to be an important part of our military. I'm going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. NATO wrapping up its summit in Lithuania. Ukraine asking permission to join the alliance, but being rejected. Member nations, however, pledging support for the war against Russia and allowing Sweden to join NATO this year. First responders on the scene of a Greyhound bus crash in southern Illinois.
Greyhound says its bus number 1675 was traveling from Indianapolis to St. Louis when it crashed into three commercial vehicles parked on the exit ramp at the Silver Lake Interstate 70 westbound rest area. A spokesman for the Illinois State Police says three people on the bus died at the scene. 14 were taken to hospitals, four of the patients by helicopter. A 4-mile stretch of the normally busy I-70 has been shut down westbound.
ABC's Jim Ryan. The Iowa State Legislature passing a near-total ban on abortion. It would ban the procedure after a fetal heartbeat is detected at around 6 weeks of pregnancy. This is ABC News.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today is the start of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. The event, in its 125th year, saw over 100,000 people attend last year, a record. With new buildings on site, Executive Director Rusty Volk said his vision of focusing on ag is being realized after over a decade running the event.
It's pretty awesome. So yes, we had to rebuild barns, replace old barns, and finally, after 14 years, we've come to that conclusion to get her done.
Five new buildings were built to replace old structures that didn't have modern amenities or enough space for animal exhibits at a cost of over $6 million. The fair runs through Sunday. Today is also the first day that artists will perform at Rockfest in Kadott. The three-day music festival, which sold out at campsites and VIP months ahead of time, has a ticket holder event tonight before its main acts play tomorrow through Saturday. Headliners include Pantera, Slipknot, and Godsmack. You can buy tickets at the gate. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org, brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What is the grand prize? Is it a fabulous cash prize?
You definitely get to take home the cheese. I know that.
I hope so. Humans aren't necessarily logical creatures. Maybe it is.
Thrill-seeking.
It's the thrill of the cheese and the bragging rights.
The first person across the line wins and gets to keep the cheese.
And that's it.
And I think that's it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Albaugh Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wednesday morning. I tell you, some of the greatest music ever recorded, now over 50 years old. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, everybody. By the way, if you're a young person and you're not familiar with that song, that's a Doors classic going back to the days when I was a young man, but actually a young person, just a kid, but still sounding as great as ever. Hey, let me tell you about, well, I guess just before the break, we were discussing the culture wars, how the Republicans are all worked up, don't even want to pass the defense authorization bill. because they say that people in the military have access to abortions and that they're having their medical bills paid for if they're trying to transition, and they just can't have that. You can't have all this crazy cultural stuff going on with people that want to love members of their own gender, or people that want to get abortions, or people that want to change their gender. Can't have that. So let's just cut off the budget for the military, or at least slow it down in its passing. And I found another crazy story about Republicans trying to stop the military's electrification with mind-bogglingly dumb proposals. Hey, Aaron, let me ask you this. If you had to guess, what would you say is the future of transportation? Is it internal combustion engines that run on gasoline, or would you say it is electric?
I would say it is electric. However, I don't know if we've found its final form yet. Because the current way we use lithium batteries, the mining is pretty harmful to the environment. There's only so much left.
Right.
But I think that we're on a path to a less harmful method of transportation by going with electric.
Yeah, the internal combustion engine obviously had its day, but those days may be over. Unless you're a Republican, the Republicans say there's no room for electric vehicles in the military. And this is from electric.com. Fred Lambert posted this yesterday. It says several Republican representatives have proposed amendments to the National Defense Authorization Act to try to stop the Pentagon's electrification. The proposals sound so mind-bogglingly dumb that they look like they were written by 19th century Luddites or the fossil fuel industry itself. With the U.S. military operating a fleet of hundreds of thousands of vehicles, including tactical vehicles, it makes the Pentagon the largest institutional consumer of fossil fuels in the world. The entire transportation industry is currently transitioning to electric propulsion, and the U.S. military knows better than to be left behind. Last year, the U.S. Army said that it's going electric and wants to be net zero by 2050. Also, we recently reported on a new GMC Hummer EV-based military vehicle program. Hummers are cool vehicles, especially for the military, right? But they're well known as gas guzzlers, and wouldn't it be nice if we had an electric version of the Hummer? This piece goes on and says, as part of this transition, the Pentagon is expected to use some of its budget, which is dictated by the National Defense Authorization Act, toward electric vehicles. But now three Republican representatives have submitted amendments to the act in order to slow down or even stop the U.S. military from purchasing and using electric vehicles. The Washington Post summarized the proposals, and the first one says an amendment from Representative Scott Perry of Pennsylvania would prohibit any funding for research and development from being used on projects involving electric vehicles, electric vehicle charging infrastructure, or photovoltaic technology. Another amendment from Perry would prevent the Biden administration from invoking the Defense Production Act to boost electric vehicles, electric vehicle batteries, electric vehicle charging infrastructure, or critical minerals used in electric vehicles. A proposal from Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado would require the Defense Department to terminate any contracts for electric non-combat vehicles. And then a proposal from Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona would authorize soldiers and civilians at the U.S. Army Yuma Proving Grounds in Arizona to use non-electric vehicles. Representative Gosar commented on his initiative. He said, "The military is no place to experiment with untested technology. The combat readiness and training of soldiers and equipment is jeopardized by the compelled use of electric vehicles. Further, the AC equipment in the EV units do not work in the desert heat, constituting a health risk to personnel. The House is expected to debate this year's National Defense Authorization Act this week. These proposals are absolutely ridiculous. Untested technology, really? Electric vehicles are over 100 years old, and there are currently millions of electric vehicles on the roads globally. Also, the military is exactly the place to experiment with untested technology. They have plenty of programs that exist exactly to do that. Banning any funding for research and development from being used on projects involving electric vehicles, electric vehicle charging infrastructure, or photovoltaic technology sound like something a Luddite would write. The military certainly needs to do research and development on tactical electric vehicles, but some of those proposals would even prevent the Pentagon from buying electric vehicles for its regular vehicles, which consist of a fleet of over 150,000 vehicles. That's so dumb. That technology is not only proven, but it is also a better financial decision than gas-powered vehicles because of the much lower cost of operation. If any one of those geniuses are your representatives, I would suggest voting them out of office at the first opportunity. They are either Luddites, sold out to the fossil fuel industry, or fell for fossil industry propaganda, any of which should be a deal breaker for an elected official. And that's from electric.com, discussing the Defense Authorization Act and how some of these Republicans just want to do everything they can to slow down the progress of the transition to a cleaner fleet of vehicles using less fossil fuel. So it seems like a lot of this stuff is about the culture wars. And speaking of culture wars, I have something else here. Iowa Republicans moving to sharply limit abortion. This is going on in many of the Republican-controlled states. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds called the legislature for a special session to consider sweeping new restrictions on abortion. And I have a story here from Des Moines, reporting from Des Moines. Mitch Smith for the New York Times says less than a month after a deadlocked Iowa Supreme Court left a six-week abortion ban unenforceable, lawmakers returned to the state capitol on Tuesday and passed a nearly identical set of restrictions on the procedure. Governor Kim Reynolds, a Republican, who said, quote, "I believe the pro-life movement is the most important human rights cause of our time," end quote, when she called the special session on abortion, plans to sign the bill into law on Friday, her office said. Quote, "The voices of Iowans and their democratically elected representatives cannot be ignored any longer, and justice for the unborn should not be delayed," Governor Reynolds said in a statement on Tuesday night. The session further cemented Iowa's sharp political shift to the right and was set to end its increasingly rare status as a Republican-led state where abortions are allowed up to 20 weeks of pregnancy. The new limits would add Iowa to a list of conservative states, including Indiana, North Dakota, and South Carolina, that have passed abortion restrictions since the U.S. Supreme Court ended the national right to abortion last year. Iowans on both sides of the debate gathered at the state capitol in Des Moines on Tuesday, holding signs with messages like "My Body, My Choice," and wearing T-shirts with slogans like "Unborn Lives Matter." Every seat was claimed inside a public hearing before a House committee, with scores of others standing in the hallways and chanting, "Abortion bans have got to go." The call for a special session infuriated, but did not surprise Iowa Democrats, who celebrated the court's deadlock a few weeks ago, but knew that Republicans who control both chambers of the legislature were likely to try again. The Iowa Supreme Court's deadlock left in place a lower court's injunction that blocked enforcement of a six-week ban, but it also left unsettled the broader question of whether such restrictions were permissible under the state's constitution. Supporters of abortion rights said the new limits passed by lawmakers endangered women's health and ran counter to public opinion. Quote, "They have overplayed their hand." That's Senator Pam Yoakum, the leader of the Democratic minority. She said that in an interview at the Capitol in Des Moines on Tuesday. But while members of her caucus, the Democrats, fought the measure, Ms. Yoakum said the large Republican margins limited their options. The bill passed by Republicans allows for abortions up to about 6 weeks of pregnancy before many women even know they are pregnant. The legislation includes exceptions after that point for rape or incest when the woman's life is in serious danger or she faces a risk of certain permanent injuries, or when fetal abnormalities incompatible with life are present. In public testimony on Tuesday, supporters and opponents of the legislation each told wrenching personal stories and described how religious beliefs shaped their views on abortion. The Reverend Katie Sturt, a Presbyterian pastor from Davenport, described seeking an abortion several years ago when she was pregnant with twins, one of whom was found to have severe complications and would not be able to survive. She said she had hoped to save the other twin by getting the abortion. Quote, "We had the health care and the doctors we needed to get us where we needed to be," Ms. Sturt said. "Now, if this bill passes, we won't." Another example of Republican lawmakers getting into territory they may not belong. Is it really the duty of the lawmakers to tell women what kind of health care they should be getting? 9:47 right now. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
He's a real nowhere man sitting in his nowhere land.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest? With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Edition, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Boss, so I called Robin Boss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to the Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 74. East winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for isolated storms. Lows level off around 53. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 81. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 62.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
About 3 or 4 years ago, and the journey. She got a job at a local factory. Sent money back home to her family.
She said, all right, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, 9:51 right now. Final segment of the show goes by quick. Hey, we're discussing several different topics today, including the transition to clean energy away from fossil fuel. And I found this story here from the New York Times. It says the energy transition is underway. Fossil fuel workers could be left behind. The Biden administration is trying to increase renewable energy investments in distressed regions, but some are skeptical those measures would be enough to make up for job losses. And this was just posted this morning. Says Tiffany Berger spent more than a decade working at a coal-fired power plant in Coshocton County, Ohio, eventually becoming a unit operator making about $100,000 annually. But in 2020, American Electric Power shut down the plant, and Ms. Berger struggled to find a job nearby that offered a comparable salary. And it says here that she sold her house. She moved in with her parents and decided to help run their farm in Newcomerstown, Ohio, about 30 minutes away. They sell some of the corn, beans, and beef they harvest, but it's only enough to keep the farm running. Ms. Berger, 39, started working part-time at a local fertilizer and seed company last year, making just a third of what she used to earn. She said she had never dreamed the plant would close. Quote, I thought I was set to retire from there. It's a power plant. I mean, everybody needs power, is what she said. The United States is undergoing a rapid shift away from fossil fuels as new battery factories, wind and solar projects, and other clean energy investments crop up across the country. An expansive climate law that Democrats passed last year could be even more effective than Biden administration officials had estimated at reducing fossil fuel emissions. While the transition is projected to create hundreds of thousands of clean energy jobs, it could be devastating for many workers in counties that have relied on coal, oil, and gas for their economic stability. Estimates of the potential job losses in the coming years vary, but roughly 900,000 workers were directly employed by fossil fuel industries in 2022, according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The Biden administration is trying to mitigate the impact mostly by providing additional tax advantages for renewable energy products that are built in areas vulnerable to the energy transition. Some economists, climate researchers, and union leaders said they are skeptical the initiatives will be enough. Beyond construction, wind and solar farms typically require few workers to operate, and new clean energy jobs might not necessarily offer comparable wages or align with the skills of laid-off workers. Coal plants have already been shutting down for years, and the nation's coal production has fallen from its peak in the late 2000s. U.S. coal-fired generation capacity is projected to decline sharply to about 50% of current levels by 2030. According to the Energy Information Administration, about 41,000 workers remain in the coal mining industry, down from about 177,000 workers in the mid-1980s. The industry's demise is a problem, not just for its workers, but also for the communities that have long relied on coal to power their tax revenue. But let me ask you this. Do we want to keep mining coal, and do we want to keep burning coal, even if these communities have relied on it to power their tax revenue? I think it's time to move on. That is old, dirty technology. This piece from the New York Times goes on and says, the loss of revenue from mines, plants, and workers can mean less money for schools, roads, and law enforcement. A recent paper from the Aspen Institute found that from 1980 to 2019, a 40-year span, regions exposed to the decline of coal saw long-run reductions in earnings and employment rates, greater uptake of Medicare and Medicaid benefits, and substantial decreases in population, particularly among younger workers. That leaves behind a population that is disproportionately old, sick, and poor, according to the paper. The Biden administration has promised to help those communities weather the impact for both economic and political reasons. Failure to adequately help displaced workers could translate into the kind of populist backlash that hurt Democrats in the wake of globalization as companies shifted factories to China. Promises to restore coal jobs also helped Donald Trump clinch the 2016 election, securing him crucial votes in states like Pennsylvania. Federal officials have vowed to create jobs in hard-hit communities and ensure that displaced workers benefit from the new clean energy economy by offering developers billions in bonus tax credits to put renewable energy projects in regions dependent on fossil fuels. If new investments like solar farms or battery storage facilities are built in those regions called energy communities, developers could get as much as 40% of a project's cost covered. Businesses receiving credits for producing electricity from renewable sources could earn a 10% boost. The Inflation Reduction Act also set aside at least $4 billion in tax credits that could be used to build clean energy manufacturing facilities, among other projects, in regions with closed coal mines or plants. And it created a program that could guarantee up to $250 billion in loans to repurpose facilities like a shuttered power plant for clean energy uses. It's time to move on, folks. Coal is something we're leaving behind, and we're moving into a clean energy future. Are you ready? 9:58. Thanks for tuning in. See you tomorrow, 8 a.m. It's the Stu Daniels Show.
One side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that they're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening in Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm